Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series I started nearly 3 weeks ago talking about financial stewardship, and we are now into our third teaching in this six-part series, and this one is entitled The Unjust Steward. For the last few days, I've been talking about this parable that Jesus gave in Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. This is about a man who was a steward for a rich man. He had stolen goods from him. The rich man found out about it, said, "Get your books together. If what I've heard is true, I'm going to fire you." And the man, of course, was guilty. And so he said, "Here's what I'm resolved to do." And he continued to steal money from his master, but instead of putting it in his pocket, he began to give this money away to the people that owed his master money. And in a sense, he bribed them with his master's money. Now, up until this point, this is not unusual. Things like this happen. But what really is hard to understand about this parable is the reaction of the master. And in verse 8, it says that the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Now, for years, that just stumped me. And for the first 3 days of this week, I have been talking about this master's reaction, that this says a lot about him, that he had come to realize that the real asset is not the physical things that the blessing of God produces, but rather it's the blessing of God. As it says in Deuteronomy 8:18, it's the power to get wealth that is the real asset. The favor, the blessing of God is what's really to be valued. And then the things that it produces are just tools. They enable us to live. They enable us to drive and get to where we're going. And our assets, our physical money, enable us to bless other people and give us leverage and power so that we can accomplish things. They are tools, but the real asset is the favor and the blessing of God. I think that that is profound. And if you don't learn that lesson, if your heart is set on riches and not on the God who gives riches, then I can guarantee you, your life is going to be hurt. You are going to come to devastation because there are things that happen. Money, assets, things don't satisfy. It's God that satisfies. But if you will allow Him, God wants to give you assets and give you things. But those things, you can't ever divert your focus away from God and onto what you've got and begin to start trusting in them. You have to keep your trust in the Lord and then just use the assets that God gives you as tools in order to accomplish things. Man, that is profound. And that's a lesson that most people haven't learned. I want to go on to the second thing here from verse 8. This is Luke 16, 8. And I want to talk about why this master commended this steward who was still stealing money from him. Why would he do that? Look at this again in verse 8. The Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Why did this master commend the steward? He was still stealing money from him, but he was just using this money to give it away. He was using the master's money basically to bribe people. Let me just say that the master did not commend him for stealing money, and the master did not commend him for bribes. But here's what the master commended him for. He commended him because prior to this time, this man had been taking money from his master, but he hadn't been investing in the future. He was just temporal-minded. He had been stealing money, but you can tell that he didn't have any investments. He hadn't socked this money away. He hadn't prepared for his future. You can tell that from the third verse where this steward said within himself, "What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I'm ashamed." That statement shows that he didn't have any of this money invested. It wasn't hidden somewhere. It wasn't in a safe. He had blown it. He'd probably been spending it on caviar and who knows, fast women, fancy living, maybe flat screen TVs, the newest, best, iPhone or whatever, and these kind of things. But he didn't have anything set aside. If he lost his job, he was going to be destitute. So prior to this time, this steward had not used this money to prepare for the future. But when it looked like he was going to use his job, finally he realized something. And I'm going to say some things here that are hard on religious people. People that haven't really been very religious, this probably isn't going to be a strong statement for you. But for a lot of religious people, the way that I was raised up, some of the things I'm going to say here are hard to swallow. One of those things is that money has power in it. Money gives you power. And you know what? A lot of religious people, they have talked about money in terms that are negative. Like, for instance, in the King James Bible, it talks about filthy lucre. Amen. I don't know exactly how that translation came up. I guess Old English, maybe back in the 1600s, that's the way it was spoken of. But they talk about money. That's talking about money. Filthy lucre. And I mean, that even sounds bad. That makes you just want to get rid of it or something. And basically, religion has put having money and riches down as being something that's bad. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it talks about the love of money is the root of all evil. And some people have just interpreted that to mean that money is the root of all evil. That's not true. If you believe that, well, then you ought to take all of your money and send it to me and get rid of this evil so that you don't have to be tempted with it. Amen. If you really believe that, you shouldn't have any money. Money is not evil. It's the love of money. It's the fact that you put your trust in money instead of trusting in God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. That's what's wrong. And there is nothing wrong with money, and money has power in it. Again, there's a lot of people that think this is wrong, this is evil, this is karma. It's just a fact of life. If you have money, it enables you to do things that you can't do if you don't have money. And one of the greatest benefits of money, and this is something that you're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to get this, because this is just way out of the realm of normal for most people. But money enables you to affect the future. With money, you can do things. If you have money, you can approach the future in ways that people that don't have money can't do. Now, I could probably spend multiple days trying to make that point. Some of you may not relate to it, but I can guarantee you, from my personal experience, there was a time that Jamie and I were so poor we couldn't pay attention. We didn't know if we could eat that day. And did you know it affected everything? We couldn't just get in the car and drive and go someplace because we didn't have money. We one time actually drove our car for 10 days after it had run out of gas. And we just laid hands over it and we prayed. And every time we had to go somewhere, we would have to get out there and pray and speak our faith and start a car that was empty of gas. And it affected our choices where we could go. We couldn't go out and eat. I remember actually having somebody, you know, just meeting them on the street and say, hey, let's go get something to eat. And I wanted to go visit with them. It was the appropriate thing to do, but I didn't have a penny. I was too, I don't know if it's too proud or what it was, but I was too embarrassed to tell them I didn't have any money, I can't go. And so I went out with them, and I remember just nearly sweating bullets about, were they going to offer to pay for this? I just was too proud to ask them to pay. And I mean, it affected everything. It affected what I ate. If I couldn't pay for it, I didn't want to have a whole bunch of money that I owed somebody and got in trouble over, so I just virtually ate nothing. I mean, there was a time in my life when I couldn't go out to eat, I couldn't drive, get in my car and go somewhere without knowing that it was God. I mean, when you don't have anything, it affects things. And long term, it affects a lot of stuff. And so the point I'm making is, when you have money, it empowers you. It enables you to do things that you couldn't do. And money has power in it, and most people use money for temporary things. They satisfy their lust and desires, and they don't recognize the potential in money to affect your future. Now, in this case, I believe that verse 8 is talking about the short-term future, this life. And he's saying the master commended them because the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. People who aren't born again and think that this life is all that there is, carnal people, lost people, whatever terminology you want to put on it, but non-spiritual, non-faith people tend to be more focused on retirement and preparing for the future than Christians do. I've actually known Christians before that believe so firmly that God is coming back in their lifetime, which, praise God, I pray that He does. That would just suit me fine. But they are so focused on it, I've actually heard people before say that they are running up their credit cards, they are buying expensive things on credit, and that they are going to be raptured out of this place and they're going to leave all of their debt for the Antichrist. I've heard people say that. I've heard preachers say that. There are Christians that, because we are expecting to be zipped out of here, really aren't thinking much about the future. We think about heaven, and we're so excited about that, that our focus really isn't on this life. But sometimes people who don't think that there is a heaven or a hell, they think that this life is all that there is, they actually become a better financial steward and prepare for their old age because they don't count on God. They aren't thinking about heaven or hell. This whole life is their focus, and therefore they are many times, most of the times, more prepared for their old age than a lot of Christians are. Again, a lot of Christians just go through life and they trust that God is going to supernaturally take care of them, and they don't face these things. They don't have a fear of death. They're thinking about eternity, and I'm going to go be with the Lord. So this is what this is talking about. But let me even expand on that. That we need to not only think about our future in this life as we get older, but we need to think about our future in eternity. And this parable about the unjust steward is actually telling us that the best use of our money is to prepare for the future. That's what the master said to this servant. And then Jesus comes along in the next verse and expands that even beyond just the old age in this life, and it applies our stewardship to affecting eternity. Now, that is an amazing statement. Look at this in verse 9. This is Jesus giving an interpretation of this parable and telling what it's all about and what the purpose of it is. So in verse 9 it says, "And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness," that's talking about money, "that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations." The word that is translated fail here in the King James, it was translated die in other places. That is literally what this Greek word meant. So this is saying that use money to affect people and make friends so that when you die, they will receive you into everlasting habitations, into heaven. This is Jesus giving an interpretation of what this parable was about. It was technically about a man who had stolen money from his master, and when it looked like he was going to be fired, he quit blowing the money on just temporary things, and he decided to take that money and prepare for his future unemployment, because he knew he was going to be fired. And the master commended him for that because he finally started realizing the power that his position gave him to influence people and to affect his future. And that's the reason that the master commended him. And then Jesus makes an even greater application saying, and here's what I'm saying to you through this parable, use money to make friends so that when you die, they will receive you into eternity. And so this is a profound statement here. Money is temporary. This is a man-made institution. When God created Adam and Eve, He didn't create money. They didn't have money. If it hadn't been for a fallen world and stuff, we wouldn't even need money. If everything was in a perfect paradise situation, we wouldn't be using money. Money is a fallen institution. But It's a fact of life. And even Jesus, when he was here, he sent Peter to catch the first fish and take the money out of his mouth and pay his taxes. And Jesus had to deal with this. There were certain women that followed him around and ministered unto him of their substance and helped supply. He had a treasurer, and there was money that came in so that he could support these 12 men that traveled with him. Jesus dealt with money. Even though it's a man's system, I'm not saying it's of the devil. It's just a natural human system, but it's temporary. It didn't start out. This wasn't God's original plan. And when we go to heaven, there's not going to be money. You aren't going to barter and buy things. So this is a totally temporary thing. It doesn't matter if it's paper money or if it's gold, if it's silver, if it's diamonds. It doesn't matter what the value of your asset is. It's temporary. The Lord, when He comes back, is going to destroy this earth with a fire. And it doesn't matter if you've got a mansion made out of steel with brick and stone on it. Things that have been around for thousands of years. When the Lord ends this earth, all that's going to be dissolved. Your diamonds will be burned up. Your paper money, your gold, your silver. All of these physical, natural assets are temporary. They aren't going to last forever. But Jesus is saying, use money to touch people's lives so that when you die, they will receive you into everlasting habitations. Here is an application of that. That you can take this temporary stuff we call money, valuables, and you can turn it into something that isn't temporary, something eternal. The way you do that is by using this money and these assets to touch people's lives. There's multiple ways of doing that. You can touch people's lives and bless them in just some physical, financial way. But to touch people's lives with the gospel, I believe, is the epitome of using your money to touch people's lives. And when you share the gospel with a person and bless them, you touch them, you open up their lives to the Lord, and because of that, hey, they get born again, they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they have a deeper relationship with God, their bodies get healed, their marriage gets healed, all of these things happen, and as a result, in heaven, you are going to literally have people lined up to welcome you in heaven because of the way that you use money to touch people's lives, to bring them into relationship with God. And when you die and go into heaven, there will be people lined up to welcome you and thank you for giving to the Lord. There's a song that has been popular, and the title of it is Thank You for Giving to the Lord. And it's about a man who has a dream, and in his dream he goes to heaven. And when he gets to heaven, there's just a line of people to thank him. And they're people that he's never seen. They're people of different colors. They're people from different nations. And he just doesn't understand, why are you thanking me? And they say, when you gave to that missionary who came, he came to my country, he preached the gospel, I'm a life that was changed. And all of these people are going to be there to thank him. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying right here. This is not just a symbolism or some kind of an embellishment on a truth. Literally, when you die and enter into heaven, Jesus said, there will be people there to welcome you because of the way that your money touched their lives, brought them into relationship or into a greater relationship with the Lord, and they will be lined up in heaven to thank you. Man, that's awesome. So you can take something temporary, money that is going to pass away. That money, your asset, your house might outlive you. But someday, everything in this natural world, I don't care what it is all going to be destroyed. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. So every physical asset that you could imagine is going to someday pass away. And so everything you invest in on this earth, brick and mortar, gold and silver, bonds, stocks, assets, is all going to pass away. But everything you invest in people, touching people's lives, will never pass away. You have an opportunity to take something that is temporary and turn it into something eternal. Man, that's powerful. If you could understand that every dollar, every dime that you get in your hand, you have a choice. Am I going to use this on something that is going to pass away? something that is temporary? Or am I going to use it on something eternal? And if you really got the right perspective, then you would start praying and saying, Father, I've got physical needs. I need to eat. I need to live in a nice place. It doesn't glorify God to be out begging on a street, wearing tattered clothes. You're supposed to provide for your family. If you don't provide for your own, you're worse than an infidel, is what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 5. So yes, you've got to use some of this money to feed yourself, to buy clothes. It's godly to wear clothes, be clothed. It's godly to live in a nice place. You've got to do some of that. But if you understood what I'm talking about here, you would get to a place, God, how little do I have to be able to take care of my natural needs and be a good witness and a blessing to my family and do these things? And how much can I take and turn it into something eternal that will never pass away? See, most people don't think that way. Most people, when they're in a church service and they're receiving an offering or something, they're encouraging you to give, they think, oh man, here's my new flat screen TV. Here's my new iPhone, my 4G phone. And look at all the things I could do with this. And they're asking me to give part of this away and it just is gone. And they see it as wasted and leaving their life. See, that's a totally wrong impression. Jesus is saying, use this money. Use something temporary. Turn it into something eternal that will change people's lives. And throughout eternity, you'll be visiting with people whose lives were changed because you gave. If you could ever understand what is really happening, you would reach a place to where you would say, Father, help me to give as much as possible. Let me say it this way, that when we get to heaven, after we're in heaven for a million years, and that fancy car that you lusted after and you thought you couldn't live without is dead and gone. It is non-existent. It's just a faded memory. And that fancy house and the jewels and the gold and the 4G phone and all of these things that you just thought you could not live without and that it was your focus and that's what money was all about, was getting these things. A million years after all of that is gone and we've been in heaven, I can guarantee you, you're going to come up to me and you're going to hug my neck and you're going to kiss me and you're going to say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for getting that money out of my pocket. Because it's only what you give away that you get to keep. Everything that you keep, everything that you spend on yourself and on temporary natural things, which again, there is a right place to do that. God does want to take care of you. But everything you spend on these temporary things is going to be gone. It'll be over. Everything that you keep, you lose. Everything you give, you never lose. It'll be with you for millions of years in the form of lives that have been changed. That's what it's all about. And if you could really understand that, that's what this parable is teaching. Be like this steward that instead of just taking this money and blowing it on yourself, he was commended because finally he realized, I got potential here. I've got the power to change people's lives and I'm out of time. I got to quit quickly. Amen. But tune in tomorrow. I've got a lot more to share. Listen to our announcer as he gives you some information about how you can get these products that we're talking about. And please join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth. Good evening. And welcome to a very special broadcast from right here in our studio in Colorado Springs.
On January 26, 2012, in a live event streamed on the ministry website, Andrew announced his decision to build the CBC campus in two stages rather than building it all at once. This is so the 1,000-member student body expected for the 2013 school year will have a building big enough to serve them. The Barn Auditorium, with its cafeteria and classrooms, will be the perfect solution to this stage of growth. We invite you to go to our website and get the whole story. Click the special message seen below the picture of Andrew and Jamie and watch part one and part two of Andrew's live update. Part one includes the virtual tour of the Barn classroom complex. Part two delivers a sneak preview of the main auditorium, scheduled to be built after the completion of the Barn. But here's the best part. You've already funded 40% of the $20 million needed for the Barn expansion. Because of the faithfulness of our friends and partners, We are world changers. Already, our students have made an impact on the nations. Russia, Uganda, Latin America, Europe, Asia, India, and right here at home. But our current campus is already overloaded. We'll be forced to use neighboring facilities to house the school until the barn, auditorium, and classrooms are complete. Think of the graduating classes of the future, 1,000 members strong, and more, who'll go out year after year to multiply the message of God's unconditional love and grace around the world. Why not join hands with Andrew and JB and help us complete this much-needed construction as soon as possible? Join the foundation builders who have already given and invest yourself in Charis Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries today. Write, call, or go to our website to become a foundation builder today. Our telephone number is 719-635-1111. Our web address is www.awmi.net, and our mailing address is on your screen. And don't forget to watch Andrew's special message on the main page of our website.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in a brand new book for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Or you can get both the book and the study guide as part of the Prosperity Package. This package includes the Financial Stewardship Series on your choice of CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program, the book, the study guide, and the Financial Breakthroughs DVD. The entire package has a catalog value of $114, but today you can get the Prosperity Package for a gift of $85 or more. Make sure to specify the CD or DVD when you order.
If there's any doubts out there, you cannot outgive God. It's impossible. And if you're having financial troubles, the best thing you can do is give everything you can give.
We have just come from giving because we have to giving because we really want to, and it just brings joy to us as well as to the other people that we're giving to.
The third audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD titled The Unjust Steward, free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.